Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. You've been listening already. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you stayed with me because we got our good buddy Richard DeKayser back on the show. Richard is a small business owner just like you and me. He's the president of Woodley Park Research. He's his company, that's what his company does these days, is do research and study the economy and help companies like yours and mine understand a little bit better, and especially on a small business level. Richard DeKayser, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Congratulations on your business.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
It's these are heady days, aren't they?
Well, they sure are. A lot of change going on, but as you and I were talking on the pre-show chat, moments like this present opportunities. There's an awful lot that's been wrong with our economy that presents opportunities to provide remedies, and that's where folks like me come in. So it's a lot is going on, but in that activity lies opportunity.
Well, exactly, and for a long time, though, the opportunity was obscured by a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, a lot of people trying to make sure that they kept their head above water. In fact, in December, around the 1st of December, I started telling my audience that that your singular goal right now is for 2009 is to make sure that you open your doors January 1, 2010.
Right.
And back in those days, that was the most important thing, is to do whatever you had to do
right.
to survive, because we still didn't know what all was going to happen. Now that the air has cleared a little bit, and not only are we kind of through the anxiety, even though there's still a lot of damage that's been done, we are starting to see some opportunities out there, aren't we?
Oh, we are, and you're absolutely right. Confidence was remarkably low, December, January, February, even into March. I mean, just unbelievable fear was dominating all kinds of business thinking. That's changing a lot now. Over the past 3 months, we've seen both consumer and business confidence improve. They're still at low levels because we are in a recession, and it is a severe one. But nonetheless, you're starting to see people thinking about the game after rather than survival mode, as was the case.
Well, exactly. And so now that we're looking ahead, you know, we're trying to find out, trying to determine what's this next era of the economy going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's going to be an era that will be marked not just by, you know, the recession of 2007, 8, and 9, but I think it will be marked as when the marketplace changed. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, whenever we go through these cathartic moments, there's a learning process that goes on, and there's a response, and we're seeing a lot of that taking shape right now. One area, for example, is in the area of financial regulatory reform.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we've exposed over the course of the past few years a lot of problems which weren't obvious a few years ago, and I think some of those problems are going to be addressed not just through government actions, but through actions in the private marketplace.
I'm going to disagree with you on one thing there.
Okay.
You said they weren't obvious, Richard. I think that they weren't seen because they weren't challenged. I think they were very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Because we now know, we now look back and there was not that much hidden. It was just the fact that they weren't seen. We weren't looking for them. We were so interested in, you know, well, we're being profitable right now. Let's don't upset the apple cart. And I'm talking about all the way from consumers all the way up to the top bankers on the planet.
Yeah, I think I hear what you're saying, and I agree in a sense. I think that there were problems, but I'd say underlying those problems was this strong fundamental belief that in time, left to their own, the market will correct them, whether it's excess compensation.
That's what Greenspan thought, isn't it? He actually admitted that.
Yeah, and that was sort of the conventional wisdom at the time, is that our economy is encountering problems, and markets tend to address those problems with harsh discipline, and they will in time, and soon we'll have remedied them. I think so. In that sense, the problems were evident, but there was this underlying belief that they'd not become severe.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a recognition, I think, that if left unattended, they could become severe and have.
Well, the markets. I don't know if anybody's ever proposed that the marketplace could self-regulate itself. I don't know anybody who thinks we need no regulations. When we come back, Richard and I are going to talk about whether we need more regulations or just enforce the ones we already have. 22, right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
The way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight, parade on, it's a crazy feeling.
Little bit of Stones bringing us back. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. Thanks for checking it out and taking advantage of all the things that we do there that we created for you so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. You can read articles, listen to archives, check out my blog, ask a question on askjim.biz, and subscribe to my free newsletter, and it's all right off the homepage there. So check that out. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's our good friend, the president of Woodley Park Research. And Richard, we went to the break. You and I were having a discussion about regulation and about whether the marketplace could regulate itself. You know, capitalism is a beautiful organism. It's in my opinion, I love what one of the things that Ayn Rand said was that capitalism is the only system the only system that makes sense to the logical mind or something like that. And it's the truth. It's a wonderful system. It's the best ism of all the isms, but it does have, it's like everything else. It has I love hamburgers too, but if I eat too many of them, I'm going to get sick. So, you can't have too much of capitalism without some kind of a break, and that's what regulations do. But the challenge, the thing that we haven't really ever gotten quite right here in America, Richard, is how much. We seem to do this pendulum thing from too little to too much, and I'm worried that that's where we are right now. I'm worried that our government, which, and I'm talking Republicans and Democrats, our government is really dangerous when they start overreacting, which is the only thing that they can do. They never do anything in moderation. And Richard, I believe that we don't need new regulations. I just think we need to enforce the ones we already had. What do you think?
I'm going to disagree outright, and not because I think we need more regulation. I want to be very emphatic about that. I don't think this is a matter of less versus more. I think this is a matter of different regulations which are fairer and more uniform. Let me give you a very quick example.
Okay.
For years I worked in the banking industry where the mortgage business was a very, very big and important part of what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the government had a certain set of regulations under a law called the Home Ownership Equity Protection Act, going by HOPA for short. And it provided all kinds of very strict rules about disclosures in mortgage documents and so forth. But what happened is that there were others, and this applied only to banks, depository institutions. HOPA applied to depositories only. So if you didn't like those rules, what you could do is you set up a non-bank mortgage company entirely exempt from the law, and you could do all kinds of things. In
mm-hmm.
some cases, those things bordered on or, in fact, were predatory in nature. So you had
right.
this regulatory arbitrage situation, like a whack-a-mole game. You bang
mm-hmm.
them down here, they pop up over there. And that, in my opinion, was terribly problematic. So were the regulations that existed bad? No. Do we need more of them? No. They just need to be uniform across the board so people can't play this game of moving around and avoiding them.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I see your point, but I guess I wasn't thinking about people who were unregulated. Obviously, if you're in a financial industry, a financial sector of the industry, there needs to be some kind of regulation to protect people, you know, as we've been doing now since really the 1930s.
Yep.
But now I'm talking about other areas where we've already got the laws. For and my favorite example, Richard,
sure,
is Sarbanes-Oxley.
Yep.
I mean, every one of the guys, Bernie Ebers and all the guys with Enron and Adelphi, I guess it was, and Tyco, all those guys are in jail right now on laws that were already in place before they did those things, and yet we still got Sarbanes-Oxley, which did not prevent this last thing from happening.
Right.
And
right.
That's what I worry about, Richard.
Yeah, and I think that's a legitimate concern. I've actually read through the White House's proposal, which is serving as the basis for any legislation, and there's enough ambiguity. It's painted with very, very broad strokes that they could lead to regulatory excess. For example, you know, you'll find lines, just very small throwaway lines, that an agency will perhaps be funded by fees on different kinds of financial products. Well, that's potentially very dangerous. How big are the fees? Ultimately, all fees are paid by consumers, of course. So does this, in fact, become an expansion of government with greater burdens on both businesses and ultimately consumers? I don't know. Maybe. So I think what's really going to be critical in the next year is not the concept. I think the concept is legitimate, but I think it's going to be the implementation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going to have to pay attention to how this thing rolls its way through the
legislature. For example, they're talking about having two regulators working with banks, one for the classic bank regulator, and the other a regulator to protect the consumer, and I see that as something that's going to make it a lot harder for independent community banks, for example, to serve small business owners well, and that's really troubling to me.
Why would that be?
Well, because I think a bank is going to have a hard time managing its business with two different regulators. I think the bank regulators that we have right now are enough.
Yeah.
I think the consumers need another regulator in banking.
I think I agree with you on this one, Jim. You know what? I like the idea of a consumer financial protection agency, in promulgating the rules, because I think what we've had, again, as I talked about a moment ago, is too much of this regulatory arbitrage where the rules for one credit card company are different from those with another. So I think that,
right.
But you're right. What you're talking about is in the legislation, there's actually a proposal that there be on-site examiners for compliance, which strikes me as totally
crazy. Folks,
this is going to
make it more difficult for your bank, especially independent community banks, to serve your small business. This is going to be a regulatory nightmare, in my prediction. Stand by, Tintel, right back after these messages with Richard DeCaser. Little Fleetwood Mac bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with us. My pleasure as always. You got our good friend Richard DeCaser back with us. Richard's company is called Woodley Park Research. Richard, tell us a little bit about Woodley Park.
Sure. Woodley Park Research is just founded a few months ago by me, and basically provides macroeconomic research, real-time economic analysis, and what I mean by that is to people mostly in the investment community who are trying to understand what these various numbers coming out of Washington mean, employment, industrial production, inflation, and so forth, and specializing also in housing market analytics, where are houses overvalued, undervalued, how much, and what are the risks.
And so tell us how we could contact you, how could we find you online?
The easiest way in the world is woodleyparkresearch.com. You'll find phone numbers, website, email addresses, that's how to do it. You can find out more about me and the company there as well.
So check out, folks, woodleyparkresearch.com. Congratulations again on your business, and we look forward to hearing more about the progress, Richard. But let's continue to talk about some of the things that are going on right now. the Richard, one of the things that's the couple of issues right now. We've been talking about the financial industry. Potential for over-regulation, the overzealousness of the government. Our government doesn't have a clue, Richard, and I'm going to put a real fine point on this. Our government doesn't have a clue as to how the marketplace works. They are total, they're just lost as they can be when it comes to how the economy works. They don't understand the concept of every action has an equal and opposite reaction. They don't understand the concept of collateral damage because they do it all the time. And this is why I'm concerned about the regulations. And folks, I'm talking about the political class here, not any particular party. So, Richard, now we're talking about a couple of other things that's going to impact our economy significantly, and that is the health care issue and the cap and trade issue. So we got three things on the table here, Richard, that have the potential to create a lot of havoc, and it's in the hands of our government. Richard, I can't sleep nights.
Well, there's a lot going on, and you know that always implies uncertainty, and that always implies risk. So I can understand your sleeplessness. However, let me push back on one thing. You made a sweeping generalization, Jim. The government doesn't understand the way the economy works. I think that can, the government's comprised of lots and lots of different people. Some who have gross misperceptions about how our capitalist system works. Some which understand it well. The problem
I'm primarily is talking about the
weight of emphasis goes through the legislative process. But you're right, and these are all cap and trade and health care reform are two of the big issues. They're very important issues, and I actually think they've got some things very right and some things not so right.
What have they got right?
Let's talk about cap and trade first. I think that we have to recognize as a society that we do have a problem with carbon emissions. It is contributing to global warming, and that global warming, in fact, has costs. Now, those costs don't appear immediately, perhaps, but they do appear, rising sea levels and so on and so forth. So the question is, from an economist's perspective, how does one efficiently mitigate those problems without interfering with the economy in a meaningful way? So the cap-and-trade program basically says that to the extent that companies produce these greenhouse gases, there's going to be some cost associated with them, and then the economics of that is to discourage consumption and force alternative kinds of solutions. So I think that is actually where we've got most things.
But Richard, if I'm the mayor of your town,
yep,
and I impose a tax on your block and not a tax on your competitor's block, then you're at a severe disadvantage.
Well, let me get to that. You're
and
absolutely
that's what
right.
The cap and trade issue is right now.
One of the things that passed in the legislation that went through the House of Representatives just last week was an element which said, and this is very much, the administration opposes it, but this is going to be a key element, says that if the United States imposes a regulatory regime which increases the cost of energy and presents a competitive disadvantage, say, vis-a-vis China,
mm-hmm,
that a tariff can be imposed upon those goods from that other country because, in fact, they're
producing
an advantage that represents a greater harm.
But that's a Smoot-Hawley tariff bill in some other clothing. That's a mistake.
Well,
now we're talking protectionism, Richard.
Well, yeah, you are, but you're talking about protectionism, which is based on some identifiable environmental thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, though.
We're going to have to come back another day and argue about this a little bit more because this is a real serious issue.
Yeah.
And, Richard, we'll do that real soon because we want to get you back. Hope you will come back soon.
I will. I'd be happy to, Jim.
Woodley Park Research is the name of the company, .com on the end, and then Richard DeKayser is the proprietor. Thank you, Richard. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, never be afraid to try something new. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.